Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. I don't care what the world said. I don't care what the government said. I don't care what anyone else has said. I don't care what the doctors have said. Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. Trust in the Lord today. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for this moment right now. We're standing on holy ground. All morning, you've just been with us. You've just been so gentle and kind. You've been so loving and encouraging. You've just been holding us near today. And Lord, I just feel a closeness to you. Jesus, I just pray that we would continue to draw near to you in this moment. Holy Spirit, that you would just break away all the hard places, all the places of the rock, all the stone. That you would just give us a heart of flesh. That we'd just sit in your presence today and listen to your voice. Listen to your word. That we'd be made new. That we would walk in the light as you walk in the light. Jesus, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Funny, like all week I just kind of felt like God had a couple different sermons. I didn't realize, you know, one was going to be, there you go, you got one, Malachi 3. Make sure you read that this week. Read it. Get into the word. If you don't know how to get into the word, how to get into his presence, I just tell people, start simple. Seek him this week. SOAP. S-O-A-P. We talk about this all the time. Start with scripture, journal, write down your observations, that's the O. And then write down your applications. That's the A. And then just begin to pray that scripture over your life. Just begin to declare it. SOAP. Malachi 3, SOAP that this week. It'll change your life. You'll start to see God is speaking and moving. That's what, when I get up here and preach, people are like, how do you decide, you know, especially my guys that, you know, Andrew and Nevin that help us and do a lot of like the slides and tech stuff and, you know, sermon graphics. You know, sometimes they don't understand my process. They're like, you know, I was like, hey, we need a new graphic. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm preaching on this week. I got no clue. But I'm just in the word and I'm soaping every week. And I'm telling you, like, the Lord, he just shows up. Even that first word today, Isaiah 37, that was a soap moment. And I just want you to know, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. In that moment, what the people were facing, like, the enemy was there, encamped there, and just telling them, hey, this is what's coming. We're going to destroy you. We're going to kill you. We're going to take you down. And all these people are hearing these words. And then Isaiah, the prophet, comes in and says, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. And God comes in and completely wrecks that army. And I want to encourage you today. Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. That's just a word for, that might be a word for all of us, but I know there's somebody in here that needed to hear that and know that today. That somebody spoke death over you, that somebody spoke a curse over you, that somebody spoke something over your life. And I just want you to know that's not from the Lord. Do not be afraid of those words that were spoken over you, which you have heard this week. Erosion is the geological process in which earthen materials are worn away and transported by natural forces such as wind and water. Erosion's just been on my mind. It's been on my mind for a while. And when we talk, when we see in Scripture what His Word says about the Holy Spirit, what do we see? We see a description of wind and water. John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit just keeps blowing, keeps wearing away at the hard rocks. Ezekiel 36, verse 24, for I take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land that I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. Sorry, I've been fighting something this week. Wind and water. Wind and water is what causes erosion. Erosion can happen quickly or it can happen over long periods of time. Soft rocks like limestone erode faster than hard rocks like granite. And I want some of you to know, I just know there's some limestones in here. There's some of you, like, man, your heart, it might have come in just a little stony. When you first entered this house, there might have been a little bit of stone, but as soon as you began to feel the wind and the water of His Holy Spirit, erosion began to happen so quickly. But I want to encourage some of you that came into this house and you've had hearts like granite, and you've come in and maybe your spouse dragged you here. Maybe somebody pulled you in and said, you got to come. You got to be here. The Lord is moving here. There's revival. His Holy Spirit is moving in this place. He's speaking. And I thank you, brother. And I'm telling you, the wind and the water will still wear away at the granite. Just continue to place yourself here. Place yourself where there is wind and water moving. Place yourself in the midst of His Spirit, in the midst of God's people. If there's just a little piece of you that wants to see if maybe your heart will break, if maybe you can begin to feel something again, if maybe that heart of stone will be replaced with a heart of flesh, like it says in Ezekiel. If you think you want that for your life, keep choosing the things that maybe you don't feel like doing. Maybe you don't always feel like going to church. Maybe you don't feel like getting dragged there. Maybe you don't feel like being in His presence. Maybe you don't feel like reading the Word or listening to His voice in your life. But I'm telling you, keep trying to plant yourself in His presence, and the heart of stone will continue to break. It will continue to erode. And then just all of a sudden, it's going to happen. It will happen suddenly. That's a word for somebody in here. It's going to happen suddenly. The thing you've been hoping for, the thing you've been believing for, the thing where your heart is growing a little sick because hope deferred makes the heart sick. It says that in Proverbs. And you're just starting to feel that. You're feeling a little sick. And I just want to encourage you today. You're getting healing today. Your heart's getting healing today. Just let Him. Let Him heal you. He's working. He's speaking. The Word is moving. The Spirit is moving. Just feel those bits and pieces of the stone being broken off today. It's shifting. It's changing. The burdens you've been carrying, the shame you've been living in, the loneliness, the darkness, the pride, the stubbornness, the rebellion, the unforgiveness, the anger, the resentment, the bitterness, the offense, it will all be removed in an instant. All of a sudden, it'll be gone. 1 Kings 19. I told you about Elijah last week. He was a prophet, man of God. He had this incredible moment on Mount Carmel. And after that, there had been a drought for 3 years in the land. Some of you feel like you've been in a drought for 3 years in your life. Here's a word for you. Sorry, guys, this is 18. I'm going back to 18 here. 1 Kings 18:41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. There's the sound of abundance of rain. They've been in a drought for 3 years. Some of you've been in a drought for 3 years in your marriage, in your relationship, whatever it is that you've been fighting and you feel like you've been in a battle for 3 years. I'm telling you, there's the sound of the abundance of rain. The drought's coming to an end. We're in a harvest season. At the end of this month, October 30th, we're having a harvest worship night. You got to be here. Come out here and praise the Lord. Share your story about what He's done this month, because I'm just believing that the drought is ending for people in this room. The drought is ending for people that aren't even in this room, but they know you. And just because they know you and they're in close proximity with you, the drought's going to end, because they know a man and a woman of God. They know a man and a woman filled with His Holy Spirit. The drought's going to end. It's coming. There's the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab, he went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Will you go again? You might be on number three, number four, number five, number six. Go again. Go look one more time. Keep seeking him. Keep seeking him. So he went up and looked. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away, and he went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. It started with a cloud the size of a man's hand. You might just see a glimpse right now. It might just be small. It might just be off in the distance. But I'm telling you, have faith. The drought's about to end. The water's coming. Don't lose hope. Chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. About this time, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. When you're walking in the Holy Spirit, when you have faith when nobody else does, there's going to be an Ahab and a Jezebel that want to kill you. But remember, the battle's not against flesh and blood. The battle is against the unseen rulers of this world. The battle's against the spirits. So remember, do not look at that person that's coming after you. Do not look at them as the enemy. Understand that there is a spirit at work within them that is not the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that to be able to love people and to be able to be patient and kind and full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit when the enemy uses people to come after you and attack you and cut you down. But do not let Ahab and Jezebel cut you down in this season. They want you to quit. They want you to give up. They want you to want to die. But don't forget the victory you just came out of, because we go from glory to glory. And there was glory on that mountain. Elijah saw the fire of God come down and light that sacrifice. And then he saw the drought end, and he saw the rain clouds coming in at the end of that 3 years. I'm telling you, do not give up hope. When Ahab and Jezebel come and they try to cut you down, they try to cut you off, don't give in to the enemy in that season. The harvest is coming. So then as he lay there and slept under a broom tree, here it is. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. As he rose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb and the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Suddenly, he's going to speak. Suddenly, when the enemy wants you dead, when the enemy wants you to quit, when the enemy is trying to convince you that you'd be better off dead, that it's not worth going on anymore, suddenly he'll show up. It might not be clear right now. It might not be clear what he's doing. Mark 8, 22. Then he, Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Begged him to touch him. That's how easy it was for Jesus to do a miracle. One touch, healed. So he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, that's not a touch, that's spit right there. Hold on to that. I mean, just get the picture. You want me to do that? Nah, you don't want me to do that, right? I mean, just imagine, this is Jesus like, we don't want to deal with that, but that's what's going on right here. It's spit. This man, his friends brought him along, and they said, "This guy can heal you. We've heard about what he's doing. We've seen it. He can heal you with one touch." And then Jesus, he takes him out of the town, away from everyone, away from his friends that had brought him there. And he's just going by faith. He's just trusting. And all of a sudden, he hears this guy that supposedly is going to heal him start spitting. This doesn't look the way he thought it was going to look. It doesn't. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." It was still blurry. It still wasn't quite clear. Then he put his hands on the eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." His healing didn't look the way he thought it was going to look. There's other people that came to Jesus that were blind, and he just touched them. And they got healed. That was it. This guy had to go through the spit to get healed. I'm going to be very careful how I pronounce that. Sometimes you're looking around and you're comparing what's going on in your life and the healing you're believing for, and you're comparing it to somebody else over there. And I'm telling you, you can't do that, because Jesus deals with each and every one of us differently based on where we're at and what we need. And so some of us, we need to go through the spit. Some of us, we need to have that spit season. And it might be gross, it might be disgusting, it might be something, it's not what we wanted, it's not what we pictured. It's not even what our friends told us about. My friends at church, they told me, if I do this and this, and he's going to show up and he's going to move, and it doesn't quite look like that. But I'm telling you, after the spit, you can start to see a little bit. What could he see? He could see men like trees walking. All of a sudden, he went from no vision to a little bit of vision. There's some of you in here right now. You got a little bit of vision today. Like he gave you that. He opened up something in you today. He started to open up some faith and you started to believe and you started to see, oh, the spit that he's been working in my life that I didn't really understand and I didn't really get and I didn't know why he was doing it and I didn't really want him to do that, but I just chose to trust. I could see a little bit. And then Jesus goes back in for that second touch. And all of a sudden, his eyes are clear. Elijah, he was in a spit season. He was. Ahab and Jezebel wanted him dead. He's out on his own. He feels like he's the only one left. He'd be better off dead. And he just wants it to be over. He was in a spit season. And he couldn't understand what the Lord was doing. But he leans into the presence of the Lord. And what happens? Suddenly, he shows up. And then he leans in again. And says a second time, he shows up and he speaks. You might be in the spit right now. But just keep pressing in. Keep seeking him. Because I'm telling you, as you continue to lean in, he's going to open your eyes. And you're going to see clearly. For some of you, you actually struggle with vision. I'm telling you, there's a day coming, you're going to get healed. I believe that for myself. I wear contacts. I'm blind as a bat. I said this 3 years ago in a sermon. I believe that Jesus is going to heal my eyes. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I just believe I'm going to wake up one morning and I'm not going to need contacts anymore. I'm not going to need glasses. Because I know he's a healer. I know he healed then, he heals now, and he still heals. That's just who he is. That's the character of Jesus. He hasn't changed. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Keep holding on. Get some faith today. Get some spit on your eyes. Let him spit on your eyes. It might not be what you wanted. It might not look like the healing that person got over there. It might not look as clean or as easy, but I'm telling you, there's healing in the spit. Trust him in that spit season. What happens? Go back to 2 Kings. Elijah presses in. Verse 15, then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. After the spit season that he was in, what happens? God begins to give him clear vision because he leaned in, he pressed in to the Lord. Just lean in and press in this season. And I'm telling you, you might just be seeing men like trees right now. It might be blurry, but I'm telling you, he's going to give you clear vision for what's ahead. He gave Elijah a plan. He mapped it out for him. He said, this is the future. Appoint and anoint new kings, new prophets. We're in an appointing and anointing season. There's new kings and new prophets that God is raising up in this season. There's new leadership that he's restoring to the church. In fact, I'll tell you, it's not even new leadership. It's just the leadership he intended. All the way back in the book of Acts, he's restoring the apostles and the prophets. He's restoring the fivefold in the church. The church is going to look different in the next 5 years. The church is going to look different in the next 5 months. He's restructuring the way he intended it to be. What man took and what man formed for man's own glory, he's taken back and saying, no, we're going back to my ways. We're going back to the church in Acts. Appoint and anoint. There's a future coming that nobody can even see or imagine. We have no clue what he's doing, but I'm telling you, in this season, there's a restructuring in God's house. And there's still others that believe. That's what he told Elijah. Elijah kept saying, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. He said, no, there's 7,000 left. And they won't bow the knee to Baal. I'm telling you, in this house, we don't bow the knee to Baal. We won't bow to Molech. No, no, no. In this house, we only bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. And he's given light and vision to the house, to his house, to his people in this season. Worship team, let's go. We got a baptism today after worship. I just sense that today, if you need ministry time, you can come up. Our ministry team will be up here. If you need prayer, if you need anything, you can come up. We made a little more room up in the front, trying to make it a little easier for people to get up here for ministry time. But right after this song, I just want to encourage you. Grab your kids, grab your family, meet us right out here. We got one baptism for sure. Marissa is getting baptized. But if you just feel the Lord, if you just feel him stirring you up today, if you just feel like, man, I've never made that step of obedience, and I want to get into the waters because I want to be obedient to what his word says, you can do that today. If he's just been working on the rock, and you just feel the rock, and you just feel pieces breaking off you today, and you want to give your life to Jesus, now's that moment. You can come up, you can tell somebody on the ministry team, we'll help you, we'll give you, we'll give you a free shirt anyway. We don't have a full set of clothes for you to change into if you didn't come ready today, but we'll give you a free shirt to change into after. We've got some towels. If you feel him stirring you up today, be obedient to what he's saying. He loves you. He loves his church. This next season, it's going to be one of the most fun seasons ever. Enjoy the harvest as it's coming in. But remember, you've been blessed to be a blessing. We've been blessed as a house. But we've been blessed so we can bless others. And I'm just believing God is raising up new churches. New churches in the shape and the form that he intended them to be. Where families raise their kids and their grandkids, and they get to see generation to generation seeking after revival. Revival is not a one-time event. Revival is something we just keep seeking, and we just keep stirring up within us. We keep seeking the fire of God. And we just want to live in a constant state of revival, because when you're in his presence, you're constantly in revival. Let him revive you today. If you feel like you've been dead and dried up and you're sick of it and you're tired and you want to come alive again today, awake, O sleeper, awake. Let's stand up and worship.